This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Michael, we're getting closer to the official start of training camp for the Denver Broncos, and it has me starting to analyze this AFC West and just how difficult or maybe how easy it might be for the Broncos to win it again, the AFC West division. We got a fun show today. Kevin Lytle, going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Also, we couldn't get Brock Wisney on to talk about his case, his pending case against the NCAA. Can't talk about it yet, but his lawyer can, and she's going to join us today in the 12 o'clock hour. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be a fun Thursday show here. The whole show starts right now. Welcome into the program. I am Brady Hull. That is Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass, ready to go here today. Mike, I'm kind of starting to feel it, man. I'm starting to feel that football in the air. We're getting close to official training camp as the Broncos start officially. Rookies are checking in and all that, but July 28th will be knee-deep in some Denver Broncos training camp. And I can't wait, man. I can't wait for Sean Payton season 4, Bo Nix season 3, the college scene. We've talked a lot about the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, and I'm very excited just to see how the storyline kind of unfolds with the reemergence of the Pac-12 with Oregon State and Washington State holding down the fort until they could get some more teams. So pumped about that. And you know what? We haven't talked a lot about the Mountain West Conference. We're still going to be following the Mountain West Conference because in our area, the Air Force Falcons and the Wyoming Cowboys are of interest to a lot of our listeners. So, Michael, I know you don't like that because you're a football snob, but we're probably going to talk some Mountain West football, so buckle up for that, too.
No, I have no problem with that. Yeah, it interests our listeners. We should talk about it.
Are you interested in the Mountain West?
Temper your expectations because both conferences are going to be terrible.
One of them is the Conference of Champions, so I don't know how that could be possible. So
yes, and Washington has more champions.
Nobody
and
cares.
Championships.
Nobody cares.
Then four of those schools combined.
Nobody cares.
Who I would consider the four best.
No, nobody cares. Are you interested in the Mountain West? Has it lost? I mean, you're not really a G5 guy anyway.
I would follow my conference
mostly. Now that CSU's out of it and, you know, most of the, I would say, the higher profile teams are out of it, what does that do for that casual fan? It's a big year for the Mountain West, and it doesn't get any bigger than that first week between Wyoming and CSU. And if you do not think Wyoming is like chomping at the bit for this game, like, you know what I see in the Mountain West, days, because they did a media days, the Pac-12 didn't. Coach Sauvel's talking about how last year at their Mountain West media days, it just kind of felt weird. Like there were just kind of, he had one side and then there was this side. He's definitely talking about, you know, you had the teams that were leaving, and then you had the teams that are going to be here to try to make the best of this. And now they don't have that. It's all of us in it together. I think that has to be the MO for the Mountain West Conference, man. You got poached. You got poached in a really weird deal. In many ways, Mountain West fans feel they got screwed over because they were trying to do the Pac-12 teams a solid and work with them on a scheduling deal. And next thing you know, their teams are leaving them. So, yeah, that's your MO, man. That's totally the way you're viewing this season. And it starts with Wyoming going up against CSU. That would be a monster victory, not just for the Cowboys and their rivalry and the Border War rivalry, But it would be a nice way for the Mountain West to say, you know what? Fine, take your Pac-12. We're gonna slow and steady this thing. Slow and steady wins the race.
It should be the Mountain Pack. Like, they really should have combined.
Stop. What, you've already said that. It's not happening, Mike. Get out of your little fantasy world, man.
I'm just saying, like, if they wanted to be more legit, they would do what the Big 12 and the, what
so
the Big 10
let
and
me,
the...
So the Pac-12 adding the rest of the Mountain West teams, I want Wyoming to be in it because I'm selfish and I want Air Force to be in it. That's not, like, to me, that's not the logical decision, though. Because I don't know that either of those teams do much more for the new Pac-12. And I'm just being honest. Like, they got the best of at least the high-profile teams, the teams with the most potential. Like, CSU, with that stadium and the resources they have, that should... But it should be, Mike. So you're banking it off of bringing CSU in to what could be, what should be. I mean, it's actually a pretty sad state to be in for CSU. They built the stadium. That was supposed to be the change that they needed. The on-campus recruiting, get people excited, get bigger recruits here. And they've had some good players, but they just haven't really been able to figure out the whole coaching thing. Now, in basketball, it's been amazing. Whether it's Nico Medved or Ali Farouk-Manesh, it's been amazing. I know other programs have been good. They got a good track and field team, volleyball, all that. But on the football side, I know, on the football side, when it means the most, that's where you make your money, man. And CSU has, I think, saying under-delivered is the understatement. Because I was definitely, Mike, I don't know how you felt about Hughes Stadium. There's a lot of diehard Rams fans that were very upset to see that go away. I was of the mindset, I remember when we interviewed, was he with CBS at the time, Randy Cross? It was one of my first interviews I did. And it was, he talked about how if you want to grow, if you want to become a legitimate football program, you have to have an on-campus stadium. I didn't like that you had to go out to the mountains to watch a football game. I thought it 100%. You need to get a nice stadium on campus. They did that. They just haven't been able to live up to those expectations.
I've only been to one Rams game, and it was the Rams versus the Golden Tornadoes or whatever Toledo is. Rams blew them out, but it was not a good stadium. It was not a great parking lot. It had snowed the day before, so the whole thing was like just muddy and awful and awkward. And yeah, they probably did need a new stadium. I just would have liked to have seen it been privately funded.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been. Yeah, whatever. I don't. I know they still owe money on that. They're still trying to make money from that. But Mike, I thought it would really click. I thought we'd be in a situation where they'd have a couple of conference championships by now, and whether it was McElwain was still, Bobo was still here. I thought that's where, I had high expectations for Mike Bobo and CSU. Texter here from the 970. Let me see. It's not loading, Michael. It's not loading. Where is it? Load for me here. Is North Dakota State University in the Mountain West now? Yes, they are. Yes, he said, I thought they joined. They would probably beat any Pac-12 team other than maybe Boise. I mean, I'll give you North Dakota State. You tell me, who do you think they beat in the Pac-12 today? CSU?
Yes.
Fresno State?
Don't know enough.
And Fresno State wasn't much better than CSU.
Didn't CSU beat them last year? Honestly, I think... Does Fresno State still have their coach? Because
no,
I think the Rams
coach.
Are going to be decent. I don't think they're going to be great. I don't think they're going to come close to sniffing a bowl game. But I think they'll probably be more competitive than... And it helps that they're in the Pac-12, fake Pac-12.
So North Dakota State to beat Fresno State. So Fresno State has their old coach. Their North Dakota State's old coach, Matt Entz.
Yeah, NDSU would beat them.
I mean, you're probably not wrong today. You're probably not wrong today.
There are going to be a few years where North Dakota State has to
build up their recruit.
Because right now they have the best of the FCS. I think it, within a few years, they'll be pretty okay. Maybe dominate the Mountain West.
Maybe.
They do have a winning culture. But
would that
be
a terrible look if North Dakota State is the juggernaut in the Mountain West as soon as this year? Is that a bad look for the conference?
It's a very bad look.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, like your guy should be Boise State. Are they not Pac?
No, Pac. I'm talking about Mountain West.
Oh, Mountain West.
Yeah,
okay.
North Dakota State's in the Mountain West.
I get them so confused. Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be confusing for a while. Just remember, the states are in Pac-12. The not states are in the Mountain West.
It's so weird.
Does that help?
Look, I think North Dakota State's probably going to be decent within a few years, and they're going to be beating
but
up on Wyoming.
But isn't that a bad look if they're legit this year? Like,
if they're
it's
legit
weird.
This year, then you know the Mountain West is in more serious trouble than
maybe,
they already
but
are.
If we're saying North Dakota State could beat all the Pac-12, except for Boise State, could they beat Washington State?
Probably not.
Oregon State?
Washington State. Oregon State, I think, have enough money and enough prestige to handle their own for a few years. But if North Dakota State does it right, like Boise State did, then they could dominate within the next five years.
I'm excited about that. See, I'm interested. Like the Mountain West, Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota State, Northern Illinois, San Jose State, UNLV, UTEP, and Wyoming. It's not obviously the national fans' favorite there, but for us and my interest, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued to see how they do without all these. I'm somewhere in the middle. If I were a diehard Mountain West fan, if I were a diehard Wyoming fan, I'd be like chomping at the bit, desperate, like, oh, go kick their, yeah, they think they're better than you, they left you like this. I mean, that's how it happens with any conference. If you have a mass exodus, then you want the team that got gutted to show everybody, hey, man, you shouldn't have left this conference.
Good bulletin board material for the teams that need it, but I just don't know how good Wyoming is going to be. They were disappointing last
year.
They were disappointing last year.
Yeah, they were disappointing last year. For the Mountain West to start the season, Mike, here's the games to look at. San Jose State is taking on USC. So, okay, so there is a state that's in the Mountain West. That's confusing. I wish they would have just kept it clean. All the states go, but no. San Jose State is at USC. Jacksonville State is at North Dakota State. North Dakota State? Jacksonville State?
I think North Dakota State will win that one.
Hawaii, I like to say it like that, at Stanford. Hawaii was better last year.
They were better. Stanford is on the improve, I think, but I don't think they're going to be very good for a while.
Memphis at UNLV.
Memphis.
Then they play, there's a Friday, September 4th game, or two games, San Jose State at Eastern Michigan, UTEP at Oklahoma. And then the first full week, I guess weekend, that Saturday, Air Force plays Duquesne.
Never heard of him.
Duquesne.
How do you spell that?
Duquesne, I think. Yeah, it's right here. Duquesne. They're the Duquesne Dukes. Pretty good.
First thing I found was men's basketball. So that should be they should run them over.
North Dakota State and Fordham.
Fordham?
Fordham. I like to say Fordham.
I think it's Fordham.
I like to say Fordham, though.
I do like him.
Iowa hosting Northern Illinois. And then Wyoming at Colorado State. UNLV is at Hawaii doing a Mountain West game there early. And Central Michigan, New Mexico, Western Kentucky, Nevada. Anyway, it's fun, man. I'm starting to get the itch, the football itch. I've already had it. I've always had it. But as many football programs and teams that we talk about here on the show, I'm excited about it. Let me ask you this, Mike. Is it going to be another bad year outside of the Broncos for the teams that we tend to lean on as far as sports talk? CU, Air Force, CSU, Wyoming, and UNC.
I think UNC is probably going to be the best of all of them. Maybe not head-to-head.
No.
But I'm saying it now.
What?
Put it on record.
What?
UNC will have a winning season this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say they're going to win the Big Sky Conference. Why don't you just go all in? Why don't you go all in? Do it. There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping you.
By the way, I found out a piece of information.
Worst case scenario, you're wrong. Nobody cares. Best
Duquesne
case scenario.
Duquesne University.
What?
Duquesne University.
Duquesne?
Yeah, it looks like Duquesne. If this is the one that's Pittsburgh from Pittsburgh.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Are they good?
I've never heard of them, so probably not.
Can we call them Duquesne? I'd rather
Duquesne
do that.
Duquesne University.
They were good last year. They were 7-5. 7-5 last year. They did lose to Pittsburgh 61-9. But they did beat Lincoln, Pennsylvania, 55-14.
And they are Division FCS.
Pretty good. I don't know much about them. Probably
yeah,
should.
Yeah, I'd never heard of them.
Well, I'm going to call them Duquesne. The Duquesne Dukes is where we're going to go. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Kevin Lytle will join us here at the bottom of the hour. I'm getting excited, man. Jim Mora. It's funny because people are saying, like, it's bowl or bust for CSU. What are you busting? If you say bust, if you have something or bust, tell me what you're busting. What are you busting? You ain't getting rid of Jim Mora. You know, he might move a coach and bring another coach in or something. But when it's bowl or bust or whatever or bust, then that means a significant change is about to happen. A significant change already happened.
Okay,
so there's no busting for CSU. They could lose every game this year, and Jim Mora's not going anywhere.
They're already a bust. CSU is already a bust.
They're already busted.
So.
You can't bust 2 years in a row. They did bust. They fired everybody. Everybody's gone. Most of their best players, most of them are not. They haven't been here. There's a couple, maybe. They already busted. You can't bust 2 years in a row. Jim Mora's playing with house money, man. There's no pressure on him this year.
I think they're going to be...
I mean, fans will be pissed off.
Probably 5-7. I think this is going to be a fairly quick turnaround. Not sure if they're ever going to get in the top 25.
I would take 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you should take 4.
Mm-hmm.
Five, I think, would be the logical expectation.
Well, if we're going to do the whole Coach Prime thing, right? CU went from 1 win to 4 wins with him, and that was, like, huge because it's a completely different roster.
So they beat the TCU Frog Hats.
If you want to use that kind of logic, then you should say 4 wins would be huge because this roster was completely flipped, completely gutted, and it's a brand new roster. I mean, there's a lot of UConn players on this team. 4 wins would be great. 5 wins would be, oh, wow, 6 wins? Sean Keeler with the Denver Post is saying, give him coach of the year. Lonster's on line 1. Lonster, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brady, how you doing, my man?
Doing pretty good, man. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, I'm doing good, too, for a Thursday.
For a Thursday, yeah.
Yep. You know what? On the CSU thing, I'm going to go 6-6. I think it's going to take them a while to get this team turned around a little bit.
6-6 would be a turnaround, though, Lonster. That would be a positive.
Yeah. I'm going to go 6-6.
Because keep in mind, Norvell only made it to a bowl game once, right? And they got absolutely waxed in it, which I don't care.
Yeah, they got smeared. Yeah, they got completely buried. I mean, they couldn't get themselves out of a hole if they tried to.
No, last year was rough, man.
Yeah. Oh, last year. That was brutal last year. I mean, that was pretty ugly.
Who do you think's going to have the better record this year? CSU, Wyoming, CU, Air Force, or UNC?
You know what? I'm going to go with Air Force.
Air Force should be good.
Yeah,
they don't have
two. Really
they
do.
Had 2 years in a row that are bad. They should be good. I don't. They never have 2 years in a row that are bad. So it was weird for them. But we'll see.
Really.
Buster.
Yeah, if I had to root for a Colorado team up here, I think I'd go with Air Force more than anything.
All right.
I like the way they run their team. I really do.
Air Force it is, Lonster. I'm writing it down. Appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, for sure. Hey, have a good day there.
Thanks, man. Faith says, I think they were March Madness name. Sounds familiar. Duquesne. 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 John Fort Ram, the game Micah was thinking about was the Sunday game in October of 1997 against the Tulsa Hurricanes. My son was the place kicker for the Rams in that game. Cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
But more importantly, the Broncos beat the Buffalo Bills in overtime 23-20 on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right.
That was in Buffalo, an early game.
What year was that?
1997.
It was the Bills in the AFC Championship game?
No, this was a regular season game.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said
this was the
on
game
way
where
to the
Super Broncos Bowl. Only got like 4 hours of sleep because
okay.
it just dumped
no,
snow
I,
all over
I remember
Colorado.
That. I thought you said it was on their way to the Super Bowl.
Well, it was on their way.
But
they
it
were
wasn't
like
the
they already
way.
Had their tickets. They knew they were going to win. They were just like, you know, let's just beat everybody now. They did have their struggles.
26 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break here. Football, football, football. We are ready, man. We're going to have Football Friday coming up very, very, very soon. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We'll be back
when
into
are they?
That. I am not going to lose this year, Mike. You are going to be so impressed with my record this year. It's going to be amazing. I was over 500 last year.
I believe you will be the CSU of picks.
I think I will be the 72 Dolphins of picks this year. 27 minutes after the hour. We have to take a break. Stop it, Mike. Stop doing what you're doing. We got to stay on the clock. We got a task at hand. Kevin Lytle will join us. How excited is he about Jim Mora and Colorado State? We'll be right back.
Baseball season and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Fun conversation. On the Two Man Game podcast with Steve Smiley this morning, thanks to our friends at Renaissance Insurance. So if Brock Wisney wins this case that he's in, suing the NCAA, Michael, he can play again. I was wrong about that, Faith. He could play. Coach is telling me maybe 50-50 chance he does play. Here's the kicker. Not going to be at UNC. Coach Smiley even said, he's like, dude, the guy's going to be worth a lot of money. He could probably make maybe ceiling $1 million if he goes somewhere.
I will give him $25 of my own money if he stays at UNC.
Okay, we got 25. It's getting us closer. We're now under the million mark.
Faith, how much are you in?
How much are you in on, Faith? How much can you do? How much can we count on your pledge for Brock Wisney to keep him here? I got a story about that, but we gotta get to some CSU talk. Kevin Lytle's gonna join us. The Kevin Lytle. Of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Let's go, Mike. Let's go. I am pumped. I am ready to go. Who am I going to pick between CSU and Wyoming? That's going to be the thing. Who am I going to pick? I don't know. I don't even know yet, Mike.
Well, the picking way too
lab,
early?
The picking lab's not open yet.
Well, the way too early, my first thought, way too early, probably CSU.
You think you're picking CSU or you think I'm going to pick CSU? We should just do a segment where you
CSU.
Pick who I'm going to pick.
Okay, I think you're going to pick Duquesne University.
Duquesne.
Beat both teams at the same time.
Duquesne. Quiznos.
I mean, I don't know. That's some weird Frenchy
Duquesne.
Word.
I don't know, but I'm rooting for him every game now. Every single game. 32 minutes after the hour. The coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin was over, was it today or yesterday, Kevin? My days are weird. Checking out some CSU hoops yesterday, and some friendly faces were on campus, so that was kind of cool to see all those videos.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool to see quite a cast of players. Got Nate Clifford, Isaiah Stevens, Joel Scott, J.D. Page, Jalen Lake, Josiah Strong, Nico Carbacho's there. He wasn't laced up, but he was there. And they've had others too. Roddy has come in the past. Tanjay has come. They both, Tanjay had a international basketball commitment. Roddy, I guess, had a wedding, so they couldn't make it. But yeah, it's quite a cast of former Rams.
Yeah, I mean, in the list you just named there too, it's every single year, it just seems like, you know, we're adding to that. So we're getting close to football season, which means we're getting close to basketball season too. And you know, among those names that might one day kind of fit into that list, Kevin, maybe Kyle Jorgensen type of guy. Maybe he's going to go down as one of the really, really good basketball players for Colorado State. Big year coming up for him, no question.
Yeah, definitely, he's got a chance. He's obviously made a big leap last year from his freshman to sophomore year. And then, you know, I think CSU's hoping it's a, you know, similar leap, maybe not in like percent overall of like point growth, but overall player development. I think there's big hopes for him going into next season and what that can bring. And, you know, he was one of the guys that they had to work to make sure to keep on campus as opposed to transferring out. And they did. And he even said yesterday, Kyle Jorgensen did, that part of why he stayed is sort of the, you know, what he called the family atmosphere of all these guys who come back, because it's pretty new for CSU that this is a thing.
Kevin Lytle joining us, Fort Collins, Colorado. And listen, I am interested in this basketball team. I love talking hoops with you. But as we're approaching the month of August, Kevin, and I've been reading a lot of your football stuff too, helping me make sense of this somewhat unknown roster to many people, I'm ready for football season. I cannot wait until that border war. That is going to be juicy. I know Wyoming is going to be wanting more than ever to win that game. I think that's going to be the approach for the Mountain West all year, is to try to prove, hey, Pac-12 guys, you shouldn't have left us here. I guess it's just going to add more to that game than ever before. But all that being said, the excitement around Jim Mora, like that's the story here. And I can't wait to see what he has in store for us year one.
Yeah, totally. It's such an unknown. I mean, we talk pretty much every year for the last 3 or 4 years about how every team's a bit of an unknown because of how many changes there are. And then you throw in new staff, you know, about 70 new players, and the fact that Mora is such a big, you know, kind of established name obviously creates excitement, but also no guarantee of immediate success. I think we all know the task facing him, and as we always say when there's a coaching change, which unfortunately we've had to kind of talk through a lot of these, there's a reason there's a new coach here. It's not because of how great things were, so it's a big task ahead.
It just feels like, you know, all this stuff in the past however many years now, since the stadium, since the first game at Canvas Stadium, you know, this buildup, maybe finally you see this football program reach that potential that so many of the fans believe that they could. I think outside of fans, you know, people that aren't necessarily fans of this program looked at that and said, man, they got the resources, they got the stadium. Why aren't they on a yearly basis putting together that positive that product where, hey, if you are losing a coach, it's because he's going up. You know, he's moving upward north to a better job. Instead, we're firing coaches, you know, and that's been the situation here. This kind of feels like maybe that story, not ending, of course, but that storybook scenario where, hey, you got into the Pac-12 conference. I know it was a weird way to do it, and it's certainly not the way a lot of people envisioned it 5 years ago. You got this coach that is a storied coach, very popular. He's done some great things. This maybe could be, finally, that not this year maybe, but this stretch where CSU reaches that potential that we all thought they could get when they built that stadium out there.
Yeah, I mean, the time is definitely now. There's a lot of pressure on folks to do that. I would guess that, you know, CSU administrators are probably sick of hearing national folk kind of mention CSU as, you know, the sleeping giant that has all the things to do well but just hasn't. You know, because in some ways that's a compliment, but at this point, I'm guessing everyone's sick of hearing it because it's still the, well, they haven't done it yet. Can they do it now? And it needs to be now, basically. I mean, there's another round of realignment almost certainly coming in the next few years. You need to make sure to be being successful. And frankly, there's just a lot of resources being poured in for this to succeed. And you need those to pay off. You can't just forever pour money into a losing product. So there's definitely a lot of, I guess, just energy, but energy with pressure behind it for this all to work. I think, you know, CSU is looking at this as almost a relaunch of the brand, if you will. You know, not literally. It's obviously there's not a rebrand, but generally the idea of let's kind of change how people view Colorado State athletics, and what better time than as you move into a new league.
Kevin, if none of the Pac-12 stuff had happened and they dissolved, whatever, and CSU's trajectory was still the exact same. You know, they end up having the year that they had last year. Jay Norvell maybe is fired, same scenario. But there's no Pac-12. Is Jim Mora the coach of the Colorado State Rams?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think you could probably argue both ways. But I certainly think that, you know, some of these moves, including the Pac, certainly help, you know, entice him to the possibilities of, you know, where CSU can go. Because we've talked about at UConn, he didn't have a path to the playoff because, you know, you would basically have to go undefeated and beat some big names to even have a chance since they were an independent. Whereas the Pac, you know, like we've talked about before, the winner of the Pac should be in the mix, better be in the mix to be in the playoff. So I think that certainly is part of the formula that helped land Jim Mora here at Colorado State.
Outside of your reporting, Kevin, a lot of what I've seen, you know, on the national front or even reporters just covering the Pac-12, there's not a ton of in-depth coverage. It's more or less CSU could be okay. They might not be. The unknown is the fact that, or the, I guess the optimistic unknown is that Jim Mora's there. And even though it's an unknown roster, it's a lot of UConn guys, Jim Mora, I think, is giving a lot of these national writers that hope of, hey, listen, completely different roster. Normally that would spell disaster, but there's a pretty big belief in Jim Mora being the head coach, even in year one.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I agree. That's what a lot of the national analysis has been, which, you know, those are always pre-surface level outside, you know, the top kind of 10 to 20 teams. And yeah, that's kind of the thing of, well, you know, there's a lot to do and a lot to fix, but Jim Mora's done it before, so we're not really going to bet against him doing it again. And that's what you get with a name, you know, a coach of this cachet.
Kevin, I loved your story here. It's self-serving for me, but your story in the Colorado one that you put out yesterday, 10 intriguing CSU football players to watch in 2026. So if there were to happen to be a local radio host that's looking to get a CSU football player back on for a sponsored radio show again, it might be a good idea for that local radio host to pick one of these guys on this list. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I like what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, I, you know, I sort of built my own parameters on this story, of course. You know, that's kind of a dealer's choice, I guess. You know, I didn't touch on quarterbacks because, like I said, we're going to talk plenty about the quarterbacks. We don't need to include them in every single little thing. But these were kind of some of them, you know, probably will be some of CSU's best players. But it's kind of a mix of guys. I'm just really intrigued by their role and how CSU can use them. So not necessarily the best player, but guys who almost X factors, you know, for kind of a cliche word or phrase. Guys I looked at here, and yeah, it's a mix. I mean, from, like I say, kind of an obvious player of, you know, Umar Diamande, who they need to be really good on defense, to, you know, maybe someone a lot of people don't know, in Terrence Smith Jr., a receiver who I'm not even sure how much he'll see the field, but his kind of profile and background makes me wonder if he could be a really fun gadget player. So, yeah, it was a mix of guys up and down the roster. That was kind of fun to, you know, it helps refresh my brain for football season, too.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing. I'm just diving through your stuff here because, again, even your list, your Madden list, I love how you found that, and I have a follow-up question for that. But the ratings for these players, and that can kind of tell you a little bit. Because the guys, not the Madden ratings, the NCAA college football game ratings, I suppose, it's changed in years past, Kevin. I think 20 years ago it was like, oh, whatever, it's just kind of a crapshoot of ratings. It does seem like these game developers have, like, really knowledgeable football people that help them put this together. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how they do it now. I think definitely there's more, and there's just more data out there. I mean, you look at things like PFF and all the analytics they bring that are, you know, available to everyone, or at, you know, at least for a price. There's just a lot more knowledge for everyone available now that can also lead to, you know, you can kind of use numbers however you want them. But yeah, I think I certainly don't take those ratings as gospel, but I take a look, and, you know, generally I think they kind of line up with the eye test, feel test as well.
Kevin Lytle joining us. On the ratings that you listed out for us of each, you know, the top 10 ratings, is there anything that you would just, is there anybody you would say, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here because we don't know a ton about them, but you would throw that 90 rating on one of these guys?
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty judicious on giving out the 90 ratings. There's not a single player in the Pac-12 that has a 90 rating. The top is, I think, two different guys have 89s, a receiver at Texas State and someone at Boise, maybe one of the Boise running backs. I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're pretty judicious on the 90s. Even Owen Long, who obviously I think we all know and feel is a superstar, I believe they have him as either an 88 or an 89 down at Arizona State. So they're pretty judicious on giving out 90s. So kind of given how few of those there are, I think it's probably fair that there aren't any CSU players there. But, you know, the whole idea is to change that, especially for some of these guys who haven't seen the field a ton. You know, you look at the quarterback ratings, both Haney and Farrar were kind of low to mid-70s, I think. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I think they're better than that, but they also barely played in college, so it makes sense that their rating is not great yet. And you would, if you're a CSU fan, you hope and expect that by the end of the year, that will be a lot different.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully by the end of the year, we're talking about, at the very least, one guy that could get into that 90 category. Kevin, great stuff from you. I'm going to check out your basketball stuff, too, but I've been diving in to all things football. Find Kevin's stuff. Follow him on X, and he's putting out his stories there, too, at Kevin_Lytle. And, of course, just subscribe to the Coloradoan, and you're going to get all the CSU information from the guy that's literally at everything as much as possible for a human being to be at when it comes to CSU. That's you, Kevin. Appreciate the work you do, and looking forward to following along with you this year, my friend.
Absolutely. We're getting really, really close.
I love it. All right, man. And Rams Weekly's right around the corner, too.
Really close as well.
Get those details together. I think both those hosts on that show definitely cracked the 90s. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If there were a video game about radio hosts, that we would have cracked. We'd crack the 90s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Michael Kirkpatrick, you'd put us in the 90s. I know that. 11:50 the time. It is fascinating. Like, this list he kind of put together was more or less just guys he's interested in. And there's a lot of these dudes that just have question marks around them. And as we get closer and closer to the season, we're going to learn a lot more about Jim Mora's first Colorado State football squad. It's the whole show. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Great conversation with Kevin Lytle with the Coloradoan. I think the expectations are, Mike, I don't know if I have expectations for CSU. I think I'd be silly to sit here and someone asks me and says, what do you think their record's going to be? I like the style of play that I'm hearing about, that I hear that they're going to have a lot of speed with that quarterback, might have more of a mobile quarterback, more of a designed mobile quarterback scheme. I like that. I'd be silly to sit here and tell you that, yeah, six wins. I mean, I'll make a prediction picture on Friday. Everybody knows that. Based on gut, based on feel. That's what it'd be based on.
Our picks this Friday.
No, picks aren't this Friday. No, there's no.
So you're not going to pick this early?
No, picks are on Friday, though.
I'm still calling UNC to have a winning season.
Yeah, but you might have stolen my thunder on that, I think.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I had my own thunder, and I thundered and lightninged.
Do you know where they're picked to finish by the coaches' poll?
Is it absolute last place again?
No, I think it's 10th. The coaches' poll has them at 10th, and the media poll has them at 11th.
Oh, the media poll sucks.
There's 12 teams? Or 13?
I'm not sure.
I think it's 13. But still not favorable. But I think Ed Lamb and company, I think they're going to be singing a different tune when it's all said and done. Top stories of the day coming up. Also, Diana Florence, the lawyer for Brock Wisney in this case about the 5 for 5. Going to be interesting. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.